The era of the Wild West in social media is coming to an end. Where we go from here, though, is an open question.
The leaders of big tech were called to Washington on Wednesday. Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee on what their companies are doing to ward off foreign interference in the midterm elections. But there was a glaring absence from the hearings. Google CEO Sundar Pichai and Google co-founder Larry Page, currently the CEO of Google's parent company, Alphabet, both chose not to attend. Senator Mark Warner, vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, leveled strong words at Google.
Google has an immense responsibility in this space. Given its size and influence, I would have thought that leadership at Google would have wanted to demonstrate how seriously it takes these challenges and to actually take a leadership role in this important discussion.
Here to discuss the company's role in limiting election interference is Doug McMillon, a reporter covering Google and other tech companies for The Wall Street Journal. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So Facebook and Twitter both sent top execs to Wednesday's hearings. Why was there an empty seat for Google?
Yes, the backstory here is that Google had actually offered to send somebody. They had offered to send their top lawyer, Kent Walker, and last week the committee decided that that wasn't good enough, that the committee was demanding that Google either send its co-founder, Larry Page, who oversees all of Google's parent company, Alphabet, or they said that they would be acceptable for Google to send its CEO, Sundar Pichai. Google stood down. They declined to send either of those people, and we were left with this very dramatic moment in the committee all day yesterday of an empty chair with a placard bearing Google's name. And of course, that placard and that empty chair kind of became a vessel to which many of the senators directed their ire towards Google.
I want to get to Google's response in a second, but I do want to ask why such insistence on the level of the person that was coming to this testimony? What was the committee's goal there?
Yes, I think Twitter sent its CEO, Facebook sent its number two executive, Sheryl Sandberg. I think there's an expectation at this stage of their questioning that they want to hear from the people who are running the show. Kent Walker, the top lawyer at Google, actually testified a year ago, last fall in Congress, on very similar questions already. And a lot of the issues around possible election interference heading into the 2018 midterms are still there. So I think there's an impatience. There's a desire on the part of these senators to get to the top decision makers at these companies and to, you know, in some ways hold them to account and put them in the public eye, because, you know, their role at the head of these companies is so important and so crucial right now.
Well, and we've also seen Mark Zuckerberg testify himself in a separate set of hearings. So I think you're right with the CEO request here. We'll mention that we did reach out to Google for comment on why they did not send a top executive to the hearing. They provided a statement, and I'll just read a brief line from that. It says, over the last 18 months, we've met with dozens of committee members and briefed major congressional committees numerous times on our work to prevent foreign interference in U.S. elections, and we'll have the full statement online at thetakeaway.org. I want to ask you, what do we know about how foreign actors use Google to influence the 2016 election?
Foreign actors use several social media sites, including Facebook, Twitter, Google probably less so than the others, but they certainly leveraged YouTube in particular, which is Google's video site, to spread disinformation, to create divisive political videos that would basically play on people's political instincts and political divisions and potentially try to help sway people's ideas going into the elections in 2016. YouTube, Google has said it has taken down a number of YouTube videos and channels that it found were connected to Russian state-connected groups. Some of those are the same groups who had posted fake Twitter accounts, who had gone on Facebook and created groups on Facebook. So this seemed to be a coordinated campaign across social media. YouTube was one part of that campaign.
We've also seen recently that Google was criticized, President Trump criticized Google, and so have other members of the right, for this idea that it suppresses right-wing publications, that it suppresses conservative thought. What really happens here? I do know that Google's algorithm is quite complex. You can pay for the very top, for the ads that come at the top, but at the end of the day, how does the algorithm work today in terms of surfacing content?
There's an interesting conversation happening here. On the one hand, I think there is a real issue, which is there bias in the search results that Google presents to billions of people every day? I think that there has been some documented instance that in some ways those search results reflect the bias of the people who created those search engines, those algorithms. A lot of those people, you know, are search engineers in Mountain View, California. So the results, to some extent, are going to reflect how they created those algorithms. On the other hand, what President Trump alleged and what has been a refrain from some conservatives in Washington over the past few months is that those search results are biased against conservatives. So far, we really haven't seen any evidence that Google is biasing towards any political ideology that they are saying publicly in response to those claims.
And I also want to ask you a question, though, because I feel like it's something that happens where, you know, we Google things and the most important hits are the ones that come at the first page, right? Like, I think by the time you're digging on page five, not that exciting for people, right? So how do you end up on the first page of a Google search, for example? If we Google Mueller investigation, are we going to potentially see New York Times sources and other major news sources at the top, or would someone's blog pop up?
Yeah, so Google is very, very good at finding the link that you are most likely to click on. So they do that by looking at everybody else who typed the same keyword into Google. What links did those people click on is probably the most important factor. But then they also take into account things like what time of day is it? Where are you searching? A keyword can be very different from the different place in the world that you're entering it. So they try to customize those set of search results to you. But primarily what they're trying to do is get you off Google as quickly as possible, because they see their primary job as displaying a list of web pages that are most relevant to what you want to see.
So we could potentially see very different things. Douglas MacMillan is a reporter covering Google for The Wall Street Journal, based in San Francisco. Douglas, thank you again.
Thanks very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.